today as we come to the table.
Whenever everything is taken away, for the most part, except for God and His Word in the believer's life, that becomes our focus. And what happens is, when all the sports are removed, when all the economy things are removed, when all the everything's removed that could be in the way, our focus is now, as a believer, which it should be all the time, the Word of God and prayer and Jesus. And whenever our focus becomes the Word of God and prayer and Jesus, there's going to be holiness. There's going to be a purifying effect, because God's Word washes us clean and God's Spirit purifies us.
With more than a year of living under a pandemic behind us, most of us could say we've learned some things in this time. Many of the big changes it brought about in our lives have taken on a kind of normalcy. But do you remember what a shock they were to your system and way of life? Many of us didn't know what to do with all the change. It was overwhelming. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will encourage us to see all the change we've experienced as an opportunity. Even as we settle back into our new routines and things get a little closer to normal, be careful not to let yourself become complacent in your faith. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as he continues his message, Greetings from Paul.
She was demon-possessed, and the demons were using her to make the Christianity look foolish, to make the gospel look ridiculous, and driving Paul crazy. So finally, Paul turned to her and said, come out of her, and she was delivered from the demons. There was a problem with that, because you see, this woman was owned. She was a slave and owned by a family there in Philippi that was making a lot of money off of her fortune telling. You know, because she was probably like, you know, Madam whatever of her day. And so people would come in, they would get their reading, their tarot card, whatever, and they would make money. Well, Paul just ruined all that because he cast the demons out. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you with your fortune. The demons have been passed out, And so you couldn't do it anymore. And so now they're mad at Paul, and they basically have him arrested for what he's done. They accuse him of preaching this false God, get him arrested and all that he's done. They throw him in prison. And that's, of course, the night where they're there in prison and Paul and Silas are singing and the jailkeeper gets saved. This whole episode there, the earthquake takes place. And again, the Romans find out the next day that these are Romans. Paul and Silas had Roman citizenship. You couldn't throw a Roman in prison without a trial, or you would get in big trouble with Rome. And Rome ruled the world at that time. So the leaders in that town panicked. They went to get Paul out, and they finally released Paul. Paul goes, and from there he heads off to another town, Thessalonica. He goes straight from Philippi down to Thessalonica, and that's where Paul is for 3 weeks. Now, this is amazing to me. Paul went there, started preaching the gospel. The God-fearers and some of the Jews, again, followed Paul. He established, he's preaching, they're in the synagogue. After 3 weeks of preaching there, there's a whole group of new believers that are there in that region wanting to start their own fellowship, their own church, if you will. And the church of Thessalonica is planted and born after just 3 weeks. Think about that. And again, Paul's going to talk about that. This is going to be part of Paul's concern for the Thessalonians, because he's thinking, look, I only had 3 weeks with you guys. You're baby Christians. The world's going to eat you up. What's going to happen? Has God protected you? Are you still on track? And we're going to see they were, which is just a testimony to the fact that God had called Paul to go there, that the church had been planted by the Holy Spirit, and that God was doing a work in their lives. And by the way, the same is still true today. If someone truly is converted and they truly give their life to the Lord, even if they're not in an environment that is the best for a Christian, and even if there's not the great leadership around them they need at the moment, God Himself will grow them. And if that happened to you, then you know what I'm talking about. And if you're in an area where you don't have strong leadership in the Lord, God will teach you Himself as you spend time in the Word and in prayer, and God will raise you up and solidify you. And that's exactly what God did for the Thessalonians. Surrounded by all these pagans and surrounded by the Jews who didn't like the Christians, God raised up a very powerful church that was sounding out in the entire region by 6 months, as we said. And so this is something that Paul was very proud of, but Paul was very concerned about until he heard the good news. So Paul's there for 3 weeks in Thessalonica. Again, there's an uproar about him in Thessalonica. They end up running him out of town there as well. And so he runs down to Berea. And then after Berea, Paul goes to Athens. And from Athens on the second missionary journey, Paul goes to Corinth. And sometime between all of this, Paul sent Timothy to check on these baby Christians in Thessalonica. Being worried about them, he wanted them to be taken care of. He wanted them to be protected. And then while in Corinth, Timothy shows up. Silas is there, and they tell him good news that the Thessalonians are doing great. Again, Timothy's message encourages Paul and Silas that the Thessalonians are doing great. And so because he hears how wonderful they're doing, because he'd sent Timothy back the check, being worried about them, he gets excited. You're doing great. This is a God thing. I was there 3 weeks. God is doing a work. You're established. Your testimony is sounding out to the surrounding region. And he sits down to write this letter. So now you see where the letter from the First Thessalonians comes from and the foundation for this letter as Paul writes it. Now, the theme of First Thessalonians is threefold. As we already noted, there's an underlying theme of hope and joy throughout the book, but Paul also addresses the life of the believer. Notice this, not just hope and joy, but number two, in practical matters, which would have been very important for a young church. How do I live practically as a believer? So we're going to see very practical things of how to live the Christian life as we go through the book, as well as joy and hope. But lastly, and even more importantly, the third theme we're going to see in this book is the teaching of the imminent and sudden return of Jesus that Paul literally mentions in every chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Every chapter. That is the rapture of the church and the second coming. And we'll see Paul mention both of these in here. And again, I say this is the most important theme of all three. And why? Well, first of all, because it is a promise of hope from the Lord to his church, but it's also this particular doctrine that breeds holiness in the life of the believer. And here's why I think God led me to this. You know, I always pray, Lord, what's the next book you want us to do? Where are we going to go? What's the next thing? And God put Thessalonians in my heart. I'm like, Thessalonians, I just came out of the blue. I wasn't thinking about Thessalonians. I wasn't currently reading Thessalonians. And I'm thinking, why Thessalonians? And as I began to study and prepare to start the book of Thessalonians, it became very clear to me. And that is, it is a book about holiness. Yes, about these three themes we just mentioned, but they lead to holiness, and especially the rapture. Why does the rapture lead to holiness? Because when you believe that the Lord could show up at any moment, you're going to be concerned about how you're living. You know, you always act your best when you know the boss is about to walk through the door. And when you know that Jesus could return at any moment, you're not going to be goofing off in sin that you know you shouldn't be involved in. So part of the motivation of God writing this book to the Thessalonians is, you started great, now stay great. Be holy, walk with the Lord. I'm coming at any moment. And here's why I say this is so appropriate for us today, because I believe God is using this whole virus, COVID-19 thing, to bring holiness to the church. How do I believe that? Well, whenever everything is taken away, for the most part, except for God and his word in the believer's life, that becomes our focus. And what happens is when all the sports are removed, when all the economy things are removed, when everything's removed that could be in the way, our focus is now as a believer, which it should be all the time, the word of God and prayer and Jesus. And whenever our focus becomes the word of God and prayer and Jesus, there's going to be holiness. There's going to be a purifying effect because God's word washes us clean and God's spirit purifies us. So there's going to be an element of holiness here, which I know God is going to use in our lives as we go through this book together, and allow God to do that. Listen, when God convicts you of things as we go through the book, and he convicts you of things in your life you need to deal with it. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Say, all right, Lord, I see you working in holiness in this area. You want me to repent from that. You want me to change that. You want me to start monitoring better what I'm watching, what I'm reading, what I'm doing. And it's not about the law. Remember, that's the whole beauty of Christianity. We're not under the law. You're free in Christ. But freedom is never to be used as an opportunity for the flesh, or we would say as an opportunity to sin. So use your freedom for righteousness. Use your freedom to draw close to the Lord and to be close to the Lord. And that's going to be Paul's heart in this. And again, this is especially important the closer and closer we get to the Lord's return, while at the same time, the world's getting darker and darker. See, we're watching a change go on in the world. This is a spiritual event that's happening. Don't kid yourself. COVID-19 is a spiritual event. I'm not trying to suggest the origin of it. I'm not trying to say God did it, the enemy did it, man did it. I'm not trying to say that. I don't know the origin of it. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. But here's what I know. The Bible says in the last days, there will be events that happen that will unify the world as one, global citizens, if you will, global economy, global environment, so that this world leader out of Europe, the Bible calls him the Antichrist, can come on the scene and rule the earth and eventually, believe it or not, get the entire world to worship him. That's what the Bible teaches. So we as believers, knowing that, that's what we're watching for. And so because of that, we recognize the world is getting darker and darker, but we also recognize that it's also getting brighter and brighter from heaven to our heart because the Lord's return is that much closer. So it produces holiness. It produces a hope and a joy that the Lord could come at any moment. And it, again, purifies the church where God can pour out revival, which is something that we're praying for and that we all need to be praying for as a church, that God would bring revival through all this. And that's my hope that God would do that. So with that introduction, and I told you it'd be mostly introduction this morning. That's okay. We had to lay the groundwork. Let's get into Thessalonians. We may only get a verse or two, and that's okay. I'd rather you know what the setting is and what God's doing so we can allow the Spirit to do in us what God wants to do through this book and through his word. Notice what Paul says now as he greets the church there. He says, Paul, Silvanus, which was the Roman version of Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to park on each verse a little bit. So, again, that's why I said we may not get too far. But notice here, Paul says this greeting is from him, it's from Silas, and it's from Timothy. And this is very appropriate because Paul's writing it from Corinth, where he and Silas are, and they'd already been in Thessalonica. And then where Timothy had been sent later, remember, in the interim to see how they were doing by Paul. Now, Timothy's there in Corinth. They're all there together. And Paul says, all of us are writing this together. Our hearts, Paul being the writer, very obviously, but we're linked together. Our hearts are linked together. We're connected with each other, and we're connected to you, Thessalonians, and we're writing this to you. And how encouraging this would be. You're a baby church. Your pastors aren't even there anymore because they got run out of town. You're trying to learn to follow God, follow the Spirit, walk with God on your own with the word of God that you have and what they have taught you. And all of a sudden they write back to you and say, you know what? Hello, we're here. We know you're still there. We love you and we're still connected. And this is what I love about being able to connect with you guys by radio and by live streaming and by drive-up prayer and by phone. I want you to know we're still here. We love you. We're connected in spirit, and we're here for you guys. You know, one of the things we've been trying to do as pastors is basically say, hey, we would say this, greetings from Mark and Jason and Travis, and we're calling people. We're getting on the phone and making phone calls, and for those of you that have needs, and certainly we hadn't called everyone in the church. Again, that'd be rather a large task, but we're trying to find out where the needs are and encourage certain people, and many of you have been going through difficult times outside of the virus during this time. And so our heart is to let you know that we're here and that we love you and that we're trying to encourage you and minister to you. And that's exactly Paul's heart. He's greeting them saying, hey, we love you guys and we're all here together in this thing. We want you to know we're still available and we're concerned about you, even as we at Calvary Knoxville are still available and we're concerned about you. We love you. We're family. And notice Paul says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace and peace was Paul's normal greeting to the churches. He always puts these purposely in here and in a certain order. You'll notice in Paul's letters, he follows the same order. Grace and peace is the order he follows every time he does this. And there's two different reasons. The first reason was that this was a very common greeting for Gentiles and Jews of that day. That is, the Greeks or the Gentiles would greet each other by saying, grace to you, grace to you. And if you're walking down the street and you see somebody, if you're a fellow Gentile or whatever, grace, grace to you, grace to you, grace. It's kind of like good morning, right? So grace was the Gentile greeting, while the Jewish greeting was peace, shalom. Shalom, they still say it today. They pass each other. Shalom means peace. So you have grace, 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 grace to you. Peace, peace, peace. That would be kind of cool to be walking down the street and hear everybody saying grace and peace in that day. But Paul would specifically do that because Paul was, again, speaking to both the Gentiles and the Jews. That was Paul's heart. The God-fearers who had gotten converted. And then, of course, the Jews who were getting converted out of the synagogues, if you will. And I find it significant that Paul, in his greetings, always says grace and peace in that order. And there's also a couple of reasons for that. First of all, grace, as we said, was the writing, the way the Gentiles greeted each other. And so Paul was called first to who? The Gentiles. Although he was a Jew, he was called first to the Gentiles. So Paul would again address the Gentiles first. Grace and peace, shalom. I'm a Jew, I'm with you guys as well, but we're inviting the Gentiles into this thing. We're one big happy family. And so he would do that and say that to them first, and then he would again greet the Jews, being Jewish and also again including them and loving them, which is very interesting. When Jesus came, he said, I've come first to the Jew, because the Jews were promised a Messiah. Then after Jesus died, now the door was open to the Gentile, and not only was God now for the Jew, but God was also, of course, he was always for everyone, but he came first for the Jew, the Bible says, because of the promise of the Messiah. But then now that the door was open broader to the Gentiles, now you see God raising up people that are saying, hey, I'm going to the Gentiles first. And that was Paul. Very interesting that a Jewish man would go again to the Gentiles first, even though he had a great love for his own people. Now, grace and peace, again, what do these exactly mean here? Grace means it is something you don't deserve. It's simply something God does because of God's favor. So what Paul is saying is, basically by using this language is, God has given you something you don't deserve by allowing you to be a member of the kingdom of God. Enjoy it. It's God's grace. You can't earn it. Rebuking the law in a sense, if you will, kind of in the background, while God's peace is something supernaturally given as God gives us rest in the inner man. It's a peace that God gives. I'll never forget when I met the Lord for real for the first time, there was this change in my life. I mean, I knew what peace in the world was like, trying to get rest and peace, whatever that meant, right? But I didn't know God's peace. And I want to, again, those of you that know the Lord, you'll know what I mean when I say this. The world's peace is nothing compared to God's peace. God's peace is something that God simply gives us. It is supernatural. And it is, note this, it is not dependent on our circumstances. Isn't that beautiful? While the peace the world offers is something we have to strive to attain, it does not truly give us rest in our inner man, and it is completely dependent on our circumstances. So for those of us who know the Lord, we just have peace. For those who don't know the Lord, they strive to get peace. They strive to attain peace. They imagine peace and write songs about it, right? Because it's something that they're trying to produce by their own efforts. But what's beautiful about God's peace is it's something he gives. And I'll end with this today again because, as I said, we're not going to get very far, but a perfect example of this is the current coronavirus. You see, while I take this very seriously, and you should as well, and I know that in some instances it can be very deadly, I have a total peace and rest in my heart and life because I know that ultimately God is in control and he is my protector. And it's not just a mental knowledge. It's something I feel in my heart. It's something supernatural. I have peace. I'm not afraid. I have total rest. But on top of this, I also realize that when I die, and we'll all die, everyone's going to die at some point. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It just depends of what and when. That when I do die, whether it be by this or anything else, it only gets better. See, the Bible says this life is a shadow of the things to come. Shadows are not better than the real thing. Shadows just cast off of the real thing, which means whatever heaven is like, if you're enjoying life down here, if you want to keep living, you're going to want to live way more when you get in the kingdom of God, because this is just a shadow. It's not that I don't care and that I want to die. Don't get me wrong. It's simply something that I know will happen sooner or later. And I also know it gets better at that point. That's why I'm not afraid. That's why I have hope. God has not given us a spirit of fear, the Bible says, for the believer, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And notice, God has not given. It's a gift. When you give your life to the Lord, He gives a gift of peace. It's something supernatural. Now contrast that to the world around us that doesn't know the Lord. Again, they don't have the promise of this supernatural rest and hope, so their response is only panic and fear. I have to tell you, I'm only 56 years old, but I've never seen such terror and fear in my lifetime as I've seen in those around me today who don't know the Lord with this COVID virus. Again, it must be taken seriously. It needs to be taken seriously. But the worst thing that can happen is I get to go to heaven. I rejoice over that. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not looking to die. And I'm not making light of death. And I'm not making light of those that have lost loved ones. This is serious and a very sad moment for our nation. But for the believer, my hope is heaven. This is just the beginning. This is a shadow. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of the virus. My God is on the throne and He's in control. You see, the reason that the world panics is they have no solid hope beyond this life. When they die, they think this is it. When we die, we realize it is just getting started. And man, is it going to be awesome. See, Paul's greeting literally reads this way: sanctifying grace and tranquilizing peace. That's what it literally means in the language. Sanctifying, which means changing you, and tranquilizing peace. A literal reading would be this: grace from God that consistently changes you into a new person like Jesus, and peace that settles you like a tranquilizer. How many of you need a tranquilizer today with all the stress that's going on? Again, somebody, I could use a tranquilizer right now. The difference is with God's spiritual tranquilizer, it brings a supernatural peace from heaven. You don't have to take a pill. You have no hangover and you have no side effects. It is just a blessing. That's what it is to know the Lord. And so Paul says, grace and peace from both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Significant, again, because he's showing that both of them are in control. Now, again, here's my question, and we'll end with this today. Do you have grace and peace? Do you feel God's grace that he's forgiven you of your sin? And do you have a supernatural peace that you know that everything's going to be okay? Regardless of what happens, life or death, guess what? It's going to be okay. And if you die, if I die, if we die, guess what? We win. It only gets better. Now we have the kingdom of God forever. I'm like you. I want to be here as long as God wants me to be here. I have no death wish, and I take all of this very seriously. But I have hope in my heart because I know that one day I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I have peace in my heart and no fear about this virus because I know that God's on the throne and he's in control. And you know what? I'm not going anywhere until he says so. And you're not going anywhere until he says so. But here's the question for you today that we finish with. Do you know him? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Because if you don't know him, you don't know this grace. You don't know this peace. All you know is anxiety, probably some fear, maybe even panic. Listen, I want you to have that rest. I can't give it to you, but Jesus can. And here's all you have to do. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. What does it mean to receive him as Lord and Savior? Here's what it means. You have to confess your sin to God. You just simply this morning, make it easy. God, I know that I'm a sinner. And then ask forgiveness. Lord, forgive me of my sin. And then believe that he died on the cross for you. Tell him that, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me and that your blood washes my sin away. You know what? If you do that, you'll not only be born again and now have your place in heaven and your hope of heaven, you're going to have peace. And I want you to have that peace. And the Lord wants you to have that peace.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. If you missed any part of this broadcast on Come to the Table, or if you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table. You can also join us on Facebook. That way, you'll get the latest information, along with some inspiration and encouragement for your newsfeed. There's a link at thewaymedia.net. Our teachings through these New Testament letters touch on how to have the right mindset about the end times. They also address the value of spiritual growth, even in a turbulent period that the world is going through. You might face some persecution, but how do you go about that with a godly perspective? Paul gives some wise counsel in this book to the Thessalonians. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during the study. Pray for our nation and the spiritual state that it's in, and that God would work in the lives of his followers to faithfully pursue him, despite the opposition that may come. Pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. We also ask that you pray for all of our listeners to have open ears and soft hearts. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. We hope you'll be able to join us as we continue exploring God's Word the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.